in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. I want to thank Sam Westrick for coming along for the ride this weekend down in Sioux Falls, and of course, the voice of the Bison, Jeff Culhane, for his appearance on the show between game 2 and 3 of the Dakota Showcase, featuring all four Division I Dakota schools. North Dakota State was able to go 2-1 and be co-champions of that event with South Dakota State. But to break it all down, I will hold him back no further. The top North Dakota State men's basketball analyst on the planet, Nate Zastrow. Nate, how are we doing, buddy?
We're doing good. It was a good weekend of basketball. Wish we could have got that one against the Rabbits. But overall, I think this team improved, kind of found a little bit of an identity, and hopefully they keep moving it forward. I mean, they played 3 games in 3 days. They get a nice little 10-day break here, and hopefully can give TCU a run before conference play starts.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it would be disingenuous of us to not just take a quick second here and talk about what happened today, today being Monday the 14th, which was the final round for Amy Olson, formerly Amy Anderson when she was at North Dakota State, and, of course, the wife of North Dakota State linebackers, Coach Grant Olson, both, you know, playing or having heavy hearts right now after the loss of Grant's father unexpectedly over the weekend, and just some extremely gritty golf by Amy after that having happened. Unfortunately, you know, was not able to come out on top. 3 straight birdies for Alim Kim coming in 16, 17, and 18. But Amy birdies the last to finish at 2 under and take, you know, the runner-up trophy, which is, you know, 156 golfers, the best in the world. That's elite, elite stuff. I think we'd all rather be celebrating a victory right now. But what we are doing is thinking and praying about the Olson and Anderson families. Grant is Bison football. The guy is the culture there, him and Coach Roll, you know, they bleed it, and he's been, you know, everything that embodies Bison football. He wasn't the biggest guy, but his heart and soul passion, continues for that program. And they're just both phenomenal people. I've known Amy, for 15 years. I've known Grant for 10. Yeah, I used to enter and lose 2-person events to Amy and her brother constantly out at Oxbow. She just couldn't be a nicer person, and could not have more accurately represented Bison pride today. I think we as an entire North Dakota State family need to stand behind the Olsons and really appreciate what she did. And I thought she showed tremendous mental toughness and tremendous courage. And we're just, you know, we're very, very, very much behind you guys. Just wanted to certainly address that and hope everybody's aware of just how well Amy played this weekend. And of course, you know, what the Olson family is going through. So Amy, Gio, we're behind you for sure. All right, Nate, let's get some just kind of general thoughts from you, because after, you know, the first game, Sam and I kind of brought her home, and then we were able to have Jeff on Saturday, but you've kind of watched all 3 games and haven't been able to, you know, beyond the game recaps, you haven't been able to kind of verbalize your thoughts. So what did you see just from kind of a 50,000 foot level? And then maybe we can get into each game or start discussing some players, but what's your feel after these 3 games finally against peer institutions?
You know, I think Richmond found 5 guys that he knows he can at any time. throughout the weekend. I think he's still going to try to find a different mix. I think it's going to go game by game, and it won't surprise me if it went for most of the year. I mean, there were some games we saw Skunberg more. There were some games we saw McKinney more. There were some games we saw more of Nelson. There were some games where we saw some Notech. I mean, obviously that last game, Ventrally didn't play at all. So I think Richmond knows what he's going to get out of guys like Rocky, Sam, and Tyree. And I think those guys are going to be the consistent three throughout the year. They're the three averaging in double figures right now. I think Malik is a bonus. And obviously he had a really good game against South Dakota State. Hopefully he can keep doing that. If he can just keep him honest from the three, he plays hard enough to go get some buckets around the rim. He has great athleticism, and he's shown that he's getting better defensively as well with that length. They're going to need something from the bench eventually. We don't want to go be a team. I bring up South Dakota last year. I mean, their starting five was their team, and it kind of is again this year. They just don't have as much firepower as last year. But you're going to need your bench at some point, especially in the grind of the conference season and especially with back-to-back games throughout. He's going to need to find something out of that bench.
Yeah, you never would have figured that this would be the season for Coach to kind of go back to that really short bench. I'm not convinced it will be, you know, moving down the line, but right now, you're right. He's got five guys that he trusts, and then the next three are all true freshmen. I don't think he has a choice but to play Desmond McKinney until and Des played fine. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. In fact, I'd like to get into Des's game a little bit later, but you know, just kind of under the assumption heading into this season that this was going to be a really deep team. I wasn't convinced, you know, that we knew the starting five going in. We definitely knew that, you know, the Rocky and Sam and Tyree would play. We knew at Bison Report pretty early on in that process that Sam was going to be at the one, which made it very obvious that Tyree was going to be at the four and Rocky was going to be at the five. So it was going to be those two true wing positions up for grabs. But I thought, and you know, ended up being wrong, of course, but you go back to the Summit League tournament last year, and Coach Richmond had every chance to put Malik Harden-Hayes in over Jackson Notech. Malik's red shirt was burned. They didn't save anything by when Tyree Edey gets a concussion, inserting Jax into the rotation instead of Malik. And now you're in a situation where, you know, Malik's playing 30 plus minutes a game and Jax is getting eight. It's a little bit surprising just because, you know, eight short months ago, Malik was waving a towel at the end of the bench with Odell, and Jackson was dunking on people against Denver in the Summit League tournament. So a really interesting kind of turn of events there. And they've almost completely phased out Tyler Witts, who was a huge part of the rotation. So this went from a team that I think we all really thought would be 10 deep and maybe even 11 deep, as insane as that sounds, when Donald Carter comes back, to, is this another, you know, kind of patented Dave Richmond eight-man rotation?
Yeah, I know we talked early on before the South Dakota State game, and we said, you know, these aren't conference games, but these are rivalry games that are big, even for recruiting wise. I know they didn't count for conference games, but I think Richmond went into these games thinking, hey, we want to win these games. We need, and you don't just want to win them because it's South Dakota UND. I mean, we were 0-5. You want to win some games and get this train rolling before the conference season. But yeah, I'm a little surprised with Notech. I don't think Witts has played necessarily well early on. Now, he has shown that when he's up against an undersized postman, he's going to lower his shoulder and he's going to get to his right-hand hook and he's going to score. I think he struggled early on when NDSU played those bigger opponents, finishing around the rim, rebounding and defending. So I think we'll see him a little bit once the conference season rolls around to back up Rocky. But as we saw a couple times, NDSU went really small. I say small, but just with Rocky out, they had all guards in the game, but Malik's 6'8", 6'9", Sam's 6'7". I mean, they're not that small. But I think we're going to see a bunch of mixing and matching with different lineups throughout the year. I think Jackson should find his way back in. It is a little surprising to see him. I'm looking here, 5 minutes against North Dakota and 6 minutes against South Dakota. I mean, who knows what goes on in practice, but it's hard to believe that a guy who could score 6, 8, 10 points in the span of a four-minute stretch can't find the floor.
Well, and he just gave – let me just double check. So, I mean, you score 57 against Nebraska, and Jax has 16. You know, and he darn near doubles up your second leading scorer. This team has challenges offensively, and so I struggle with the, and I think it could go one of two ways, right? You could have coach challenging Jackson to become a complete player, and on the other side of it, you have a better version of Jackson, and that's what I think happened with Paul Miller. I think it's what happened with Tyson Ward. I know it's what happened with Tyson Ward, you know, or Dave's just kind of gonna roll with this super defensive lineup. And in my opinion, you score 53 points against UND, you need to start looking at options to score more. And I thought that you mentioned the small ball lineup. I thought that the lineup with Jax at the five was really interesting. When he's guarding opponents' bigs, he has the 6'6 frame. He has strength to at least hold up on defense while becoming a complete nightmare matchup on the offensive end. Rabracha in the spin cycle and went to the rim. There's not a center, obviously, certainly not a second unit center in the Summit League that isn't going to give up a bucket to Jackson just about every time down the floor. Like I said, I think this might be a little bit of a tough love thing. When I asked Coach about it, he said specifically Jax and Tyler Witts need to, play defense, rebound, and protect the basketball. Those are the three tenets of Dave's program, and I get it. And like I said, I think it might be a little bit of a tough love thing, but at some point, you're going to need to let Jax cook.
Yeah, I mean, he's shown through the past 2 years that he can really get it rolling. So hopefully those guys can find their way back in rotation. I think that would make seven solid players who've had experience. And then kind of whatever you get out of Grant and Bowden right now would be 8-9, which isn't a bad thing because Bowden showed that he can score a little bit. He's still getting the experience, still getting his feet wet. You can tell he's kind of a little jittery out there. And then Grant's not going to be much of a scoring threat, but the way he alters shots and finds ways to get to the basket. He keeps balls live on the glass. He's rebounded well. I think right now Grant's 8 and Bowden's 9. And when Donald Carter comes back, who knows where he fits into that rotation, if Dave's going to really slowly bring him back or he's just going to kind of throw him in there. I don't see him just throwing him in there, but it'll be interesting to see the next few weeks what happens because Donald obviously warmed up this past weekend, which means he's close. So we'll see what happens in that TCU game. You probably want to, like we talked about for the SDSU game, you probably want to get him in a game in a non-conference game before you go to Western Illinois.
Yeah, I think if they can get him medical clearance, it's a 10-day break between the win against North Dakota and the game against TCU. I know, Coach would probably love and the program would love. It's been a long time since they took out a Power 5 team. Coach Richmond does not have a win over a Power 5 team. I'm sure they would love to get that win, but at the same time, this is a development period for them, and it's something that Coach Richmond has said word for word, what I just said. It's a development period for them. I think even if it costs you a game at TCU, but if Donald Carter has medical clearance, I would definitely give him 8, 10, 12 minutes in that game just to understand what it's like to play with this group of guys. I mean, he's never played anything but green against yellow in practice. No Concordia, preseason exhibition, nothing. He would just be getting thrown into the fire. What I will say though, Nate, is that, this is going to be, I think a really good setup for NDSU to get their feet a little bit wet. And what I mean by that is I think this schedule sets up really well. I don't know as though there's a tremendous amount. I mean, like I said, I know they would like to probably get that first Power Five win against TCU, but I still think you can kind of treat that as a game where winning and losing is not as important as, you know, getting better. This Western Illinois team is not very good. They will only have played five games going into the game against North Dakota State on the 2nd of January. They played Eastern Illinois on Saturday and will not go again. But they're right now, they're 1-4. Okay. They lost to Iowa, lost to Central Michigan, lost to Miami of Ohio, and lost at Eastern Illinois. Their only win, I think Mount St. Joseph is probably a Division II school. I think you feel really good about heading out to Macomb and playing against this team without Kobe Webster. Certainly a team in flux with a brand new head coach. And then you get Omaha at home. And Omaha looks like one of the worst defensive teams in college basketball. They have been awful every time I've had the chance to turn them on. So I think you've got a real honest shot at a 4-0 or a 3-1 start in conference while you can still do some things to kind of figure out who you are as a basketball team.
Yeah, I you want to win that TCU game if you can, but like you said, it's about being competitive in that one and keep on taking steps forward. I know there's Richmond talks about no moral victories, but I mean TCU is a solid opponent. They're 5-2 to start. Their only losses are to Oklahoma and Providence. They beat Texas A&M. They beat Tulsa. They beat Liberty, who's one of the top mid-majors. So, I mean, they're going to be a solid team. I think of them as they're going to be a really good defensive team in the half court. They're going to have big bruisers in the middle, and they're going to try to make it a half court game. I kind of think of them as Kansas State teams of the past. Obviously not this year. They're really struggling. But just to have big bodies down low, a bunch of guys who are just okay shooters. I think NDSU is really going to pack it in and make them hit jumpers like they did with K-State last year. And hopefully NDSU can hit some shots and make that competitive. But, yeah, the beginning of the Summit schedule, it's always tough to play in Macomb. I'll say this every time we podcast and they're about to play Western Illinois in Macomb. It's a tough place to play. They don't have fans there regardless. There's going to be zero fans there this time. So it's really tough to get up and motivated. I think that's what's going to be tough with this conference season is – when you're on the road, there's not any fans for you to get you hyped up. You're going to have to bring your own energy. But if they can get those two, Omaha, like you said, really struggling defensively. I know one of their top scorers, Marlon Ruffin, has been out the past few games. So if he's out, that takes away some scoring. Obviously they still got Matt Pyle back, big, strong post. I think Rocky kind of takes him away a little bit. I don't see how they can't go 4-0 to start the conference season. Obviously, we want to take that one game at a time. There's no easy win. You go 4-0 going into that, you play a UND team who you just kind of struggled with and found a way to win, and you played one of their worst offensive games. I can't say that it was their worst because they've scored in the 40s, but, I mean, to start their conference schedule, looking at it, I mean – Western Illinois, Omaha, North Dakota, Denver. I mean, that's kind of the bottom of the conference. So, I mean, 7-1, 8-0 is not out of the picture.
Yeah, and you know, that's what I mean by it being an opportunity to kind of learn as you go, if you will, and get a little bit better without having to sacrifice wins and losses. And I think that's a big, big deal for North Dakota State. Okay, so we are seven games in now to the Sam Grieslet point guard experience. What are the legs of this thing? I mean, do you think the best version of the team is Donald Carter back and then Sam moving back to that four position? Or do you think this thing could work out? I mean, because, hey, if Sam wants to, and all indications are that he does, this would really be this year plus two more. I mean, he came and played as a true freshman. He's been through the wars, but as has been pointed out into oblivion, this season doesn't have to count. So he could start his journey as a point guard now and do it for two more seasons. I mean, what do you think is best for the program, and what do you think is best for Sam Griesel?
You know, I think this year, I don't see a change in this year unless something happens where they really start playing bad or have really bad play from Sam at the point guard. But I don't see that happening. Sam's too good of a ball player. He's a really good big-time competitor. So I don't see him not starting at point, at least for this season. If it's past this season, you know, you got a whole offseason. You can figure that out. But yeah, I don't see any changes this season. He's looking more and more comfortable. Obviously, the turnovers are a bit of an issue at times, but he's starting to – I know those first few games, he was a little bit sped up. The game was moving a little fast for him. It's kind of slowed down, and he's making better decisions. He's getting to the basket. He's hitting some threes. I really liked what I saw to him last weekend. Obviously, against UND, 6-for-17 isn't the way he wants to shoot it. But, I mean, he hit, I think it was 3 threes against South Dakota State and really, really got to the basket. He's obviously 6'6", 6'7", can go finish. And a lot of these teams have smaller guards. So, I mean, he's a matchup nightmare, and I'm sure Richmond will find ways to exploit that in the conference season.
Yeah, I think that's why Dave can't give it up. I think that's why he's so excited about this experiment, is because of just how crazy long they are and how versatile they are defensively, the amount of things they can do to switch and still be kind of okay. I mean, let's be frank, there isn't a post, because Doug Wilson does things a lot differently than Rabracha. I mean, there isn't a true post in the league that will stress North Dakota State the same way Rabracha did. And I mean that up and down the conference. I like Oral Roberts' guys just as much as the next crew, but I don't think that any of them are as gifted as Phillip, who I think is like 23 or 24 years old. He has really, really developed, especially now that Marlon's not around anymore. He is the man. Nate, let's go in with the freshman report. Talk to me about what you saw from Des McKinney, who I really liked, and was such a late addition and just kind of an afterthought. Could he be the latest in the afterthoughts such as Taylor Braun and Lorix Alexander and Tyson Ward, who come out of absolute nowhere to be recruited late and not really part of the plan yet be Bison legends? And then, of course, Mr. Hype Grant Nelson and Bowden Skunberg as well.
You know, Desmond really played well last weekend in the spurts that he played. He kind of gave him a little bit of a boost against South Dakota State. I think he had 2 quick buckets. Obviously, the turnovers are always a problem for freshmen, just the game speed, the strength of guys. But I think he's going to continue to get better. You got to remember, and I remember Lawrence when he came on campus, he couldn't shoot a lick. His jump shot's going to get better. Taylor couldn't shoot either. don't let him tell you they could either. But I mean, they're going to be on the gun. He's going to keep shooting shots. His jump shot's going to get better. He's obviously got some good quickness to get to the basket. He's finished pretty well. Richmond won't put him on the floor if he couldn't defend. So he's doing a good job defensively. And I think him and Bowden, it's going to kind of be whoever's playing well. And I think he's going to give them both a shot in games, and whoever's playing well is going to play later on in the game. Obviously we expected a little more out of Bowden this year. It's still early. I'm not saying we expected him to do these extraordinary things. We just knew he was going to play right away. Grant's going to give you what he's going to give you. I think he's slowly going to keep getting more comfortable, handling the ball, getting to the basket. His jumper is going to keep coming along. He looks comfortable from three. Obviously, we want to see a couple fall. But defensively, I mean, if we throw our what I call in quotes small lineup, he's 6'9 and can be a center and play guard. Or Jackson, 6'6, can play center and he's a guard. I mean, we could go 5 guards and they're all 6'5 and above. So I think the versatility for NDSU, but yeah, I mean, you're talking about the freshmen. They're going to keep getting better. It's a long season. We're, what, 7 games in, and it's a free season for them. I mean, I know you keep saying it, but I mean, that's basically a redshirt year and you're getting game experience.
Yeah, and it's important, I think, to remember too, like the defensive thing is great. And I think that's kind of the baseline, right? That's never going to go away. They're just going to get better defensively as they learn how to play together. They're going to understand, you know, switches, and they're going to understand gaps, and they're going to understand more about that. But the offense, I think, has upside. I think as Griso gets more confident, as he understands the point guard position more, as Jackson Notek earns the ability to get back on the floor a little bit more, and as we just get a little bit more confidence, these guys are all role players. Jarius Cook is way too talented to be shooting the ball the way he is. And I just, somebody has to, you know, tell Malik Harden-Hayes how damn good he is, and tell Sam Griso how damn good he is. And Tyree can continue to be a super efficient second or third option. And there will be games where Rocky Cruiser gets you 18-7. I think there are brighter offensive days ahead. These are not unskilled basketball players. They're just guys kind of getting, you know, used to different roles. I think Rocky can legitimately shoot it. I think Jackson can shoot it. I think Jarius can shoot it. I think Malik can shoot it. I think Tyree can shoot it. There are guys on the team that we've seen shoot it at a high level. This is not a 28% from three roster. If they do what they can do and what we've seen them do. And I just think that what they know and what they trust right now is their defensive ability. And that's something that, honestly, like I said, I don't think is going to leave them. They're going to be this good on defense, I think, all year. Where the real upside is once this group finally, you know, kind of figures it out on offense. Let's talk about the rest of the league for a little bit, Nate. What did you see from South Dakota State as far as, you know, we were really, really impressed with them coming into the season, really impressed with their first couple games. They stuck with West Virginia, beat a really good Bradley team, but got punked out by Stanley Amude, probably should have lost to the Bison, did not roll UND in any way. And I understand they were without Douglas Wilson, but he, at this point, frankly, has to be considered an injury risk. I don't know about his availability game in and game out.
Yeah, I mean, they're a team that's always going to be a tough game. Obviously, they're the preseason favorite. They shoot a lot of threes, and yeah, they shot a high percentage. I think they were 47% coming into last weekend. I mean, they're down to 39%. So, I mean, you see what happens if they have a little pressure on them. And we talked about it. When you play conference teams and they know your stuff, it's not as easy to score anymore. Obviously, there's going to be games where they get hot from three. They move the ball really well. But it's tough to live and die by that thing. And I think that's why we saw a lot more of Dentlinger this weekend. Wilson was out, so that probably got him some more minutes too. But I mean, they were a team that pretty much played through the post last year. They played through Wilson. They played through Dentlinger. And now with Friedel coming on, they're kind of going with the ball in his hands and moving it and shooting a lot of threes, a lot more than they did last year. They're going to be a tough team to beat. Back to North Dakota State, like you said, without having a star, I think that makes them tougher to guard. I mean, you don't know which guy is going to go off on any night. I mean, it could be Rocky, could be Sam, could be Malik, could be Edie. You can bring Jackson off the bench. He could go get double figures. It could be any guy in any given night. And like you said, their defense isn't going away. That's like a staple of their program. You know what they're going to do. They're going to pack it in. They're going to be in gaps, and they're going to make you hit contested jump shots, and they're going to rebound.
I mean, I get that as a theory, Nate, but they haven't been hard to guard yet. And specifically late in clock, there hasn't been a Lawrence or a Paul or really a Vinny to go to, with the exception of the pull-up threes that Sam got a little hot against South Dakota State, and they punched up. That's all I'm saying is they haven't been hard to guard yet.
No, and you're exactly right. They haven't scored. They haven't shot it well. And against Kansas, I mean, what kind of got them off to that good start was some late chucks, late shot clock. I mean, Jarius had a couple. I mean,
Jarius from the logo.
Yeah, I mean, that really kind of got them going in that Kansas game. And I don't think they really played well offensively to really even be in that game. Kansas ended up missing a bunch of shots. But the offense, I think, will come. like we've tweeted about, defense is going to keep you in games. You hope that the offense comes along, but I think you need to think about some different types of motion to get them moving without the ball. And that was the biggest thing that I remember coming to college is I had no idea how to move without the ball. That's something that needs to be taught if guys don't know what they're doing. And I think that that's something that Richmond needs to maybe teach a little bit to the younger guys, especially because you don't have a Vinny Shahid anymore. You don't have a Lawrence Alexander. You don't have a Paul Miller. That's, you can run your motion and late shot clock. All right, get him the ball, go make a play. That has yet to be seen. Can Sam be that guy? I don't know. He needs to get more comfortable at the point guard. Not that he isn't, he's getting more comfortable, but he needs to be more comfortable to be able to know that he has to make a play late shot clock.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I especially enjoy the Friedel journey to the dark side and just embracing the fact that he's the most Grayson Allen unlikable guy in the Summit League. Was brought to my attention a video of him clearly drinking underage and betting somebody $100 that he would drop 40 on USD as a freshman. And then you add that into the, I don't know what you want to call it, sack tap, nut shot, cheap shot, whatever, that he was ejected from the game for. I do like the Grayson Allen heel turn here from Noah Friedel.
Yeah, that was really something. I saw you tweet about it, and then I saw the video, and I was like, well, that's looked exactly like Grayson Allen coming off a screen and get your arm out there, act like you're swinging your arm through and getting through the screen, and it just happens to hit the guy right below the belt. So
yeah, just swinging my arms.
That's something that I'm sure if coaches in the league didn't see right away, they have been told about it. So I'm sure that'll be a topic of discussion throughout the year to officials as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're not going to have him get away with tripping and nut shots and all that other good stuff, but just his kind of general attitude. And you know what makes a villain great is if he's good. And as you know, begrudging as it might be, Noah Friedel is a very, very good basketball player. So it should be fun to watch North Dakota State fans hate this kid for the next 3 years or however long he stays at South Dakota State. All right, Nate, I believe we've come to kind of the end of the show. Any other observations about the hoop squad here that we want to get off your chest?
I think we covered pretty much everything. Hopefully they keep looking good. I thought this weekend was a good step forward. I think if you would have said that they went 2-1 before the weekend, we would have taken it, especially after an 0-5 start. Would have been awesome to get that South Dakota State win, but I thought they competed, and it does help that they went 10-for-22 from the three that game. But yeah, I mean, I think they let the league know that last weekend with South Dakota being up there in the preseason ranking, South Dakota State obviously the favorite, that that title's in Fargo until it's taken away, and it's not going to be easy to beat them.
Absolutely, yeah. The belt certainly belongs to North Dakota State until further notice. All right, folks, we want to thank Rise Training and Fitness in Moorhead, Minnesota for helping us present this show to you. Rise is brought to you by former North Dakota State football legend Chase Morlock and his buddy Aaron Lean, a former star at Minnesota State University Moorhead for the Dragons basketball team. They're doing a really good job over there. Right now, with some regulations with the state of Minnesota, they are unable to do training in person, but they're doing such cool things with the Elevate app, doing in-home workouts on video, really walking you through, you know, a 30 or 40 minute workout every day that you can do in your own home. You don't have to go spend $300-$400 on exercise equipment. They're going to get you right and keep you from gaining the quarantine 15. That's a real thing, folks. It will come for you if you don't watch out. Okay, everybody, we will be back probably pretty quick here with National Signing Day just 2 days away. We're going to try and grab a great guest for the NSD edition. Until then, go Bison.